Hey, everybody, and welcome back to I Just Want to Talk About the Bible. If this is your first time joining us, then let me just welcome you and say that I am so glad that you're here. My name is Christian Keeter, and I live in the southeast of the United States of America with my amazing, beautiful, godly wife, Lacey, and our two wonderful daughters, Felicity and Serenity. So today we're going to begin by jumping right into Mark chapter 4, verses 21 through 25. Jesus is speaking here, and the passage says, "And he said to them, Is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And he said to them, Pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away." And that's the end of the passage. Now, let's just acknowledge right up front that that's kind of confusing, is it not? We just, you know, hopped right in halfway through Mark, and we just read this passage. And this is one of the passages that you might read and think, oh, well, you know, that's interesting. I don't really know what he was talking about. And then you just kind of move on. But I believe that there's a truth here that we are going to hopefully draw out today in our time together that will really encourage you in your walk with the Lord as you seek to cooperate with Him and what He's doing in your life, that there will be a simple yet hopefully profound application that will, again, hopefully simplify things, but also to really just help you focus as well in your walk with the Lord on what He's doing and how to cooperate with Him. So, in order to understand this passage, we're going to have to do a little bit of upfront work, and but then we're going to bring it back around and talk about the application that I'm referring to. Now, this is a great example of a time when you really need to pay attention to the context. Now, paying attention to context in the Bible is something we should always be doing. We should always be taking into consideration the verses that come before and come after a passage that we're looking into that could really help prevent us from misunderstanding and misinterpreting and even misapplying the scriptures and things like that. Now, that's not to say that the Holy Spirit can't or won't take a specific verse in isolation and apply it to your life in a very meaningful way and just like take that solitary verse and just connect it to your circumstances and all that, because He most certainly can and will do that, of course. But what I'm just saying, as a general rule, it's always a good idea to take into consideration context. And so if we're going to find out what's going on in Mark 4, 21 through 25, we're going to have to do exactly that, and we're going to have to go back to the beginning of Mark chapter 4, and then there's going to be a thread that connects the passage immediately before this one to the passage we're looking at today. Now, what happens in Mark immediately before where Jesus says this passage I just read in verses 21 through 25 is the parable of the sower. This is probably one of Jesus's more well-known parables, and it can be found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. We are looking primarily in Mark today, although we might briefly mention something about the parable in the other two gospel accounts as well. But it will help us understand. And so, just very briefly, I'm going to try to do this just as quickly as I can without getting too granular. Sometimes I can, you know, get too detailed with something. And so I'm going to try to fight against the urge to do that and just highlight from the parable what we need to see to understand the passage we're looking at today. So beginning in Mark 4, verse 1, it says, "Again, he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables. And in his teaching he said to them, Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And so those verses 1 through 9, we'll pause there really quickly. Just want to point out a couple of things. Notice how at the very beginning, he says, listen, listen. in Mark's recounting of this, the parable begins with "listen," or as King James, so the King James Version would so eloquently put it, "hearken." Hearken, which is just an old school and yet super spiritual sounding way of saying listen, that I personally think that we should bring back. In fact, I might have to maybe work that word into the title of this podcast episode because it's just that cool. So hearken, listen. And so this is very important. And just that's that one word, listen, is going to be is a big part of what we're talking about today. And then he ends the parable down here in verse 9, and it says, "And he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear." Notice the word "hear." That word "hear" is going to play a huge role in understanding what we're talking about back in the verses we read at the beginning of this episode. So "hear." And as I read through the remainder of the parable, please note and listen to the occurrences of the word "hear." Please hear the word "hear." this is getting a little confusing. I'll emphasize it to draw it out to make the point, though. So continuing in the parable, or in the passage, resuming in verse 10, it says, "And when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, 'To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see, but not perceive, and may indeed hear, but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven.'" And that's verses 10 through 12 of Mark 4. In that last section right there where it says, where he said, "They may indeed see, but not perceive, and may indeed hear, but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven," that is a quotation from the book of Isaiah. And we could talk more about that and the significance of that, but I just wanted to point that out. And so this passage right here could perhaps be troubling at first glance when you listen to that, depending on what conclusions you come to and how you understand what's being said here. And I just wanted to acknowledge that and say, just hold on to that and don't get distracted by that for the moment. We're going to come back to that in a minute and talk through this passage a little bit more, because there's something in this passage that'll help us to really understand. Like I said, I'm just kind of, you know, running through this account leading up to our verses just to draw out the things that I think we need to see in order to understand. So resuming here in verse 13, Jesus is going to explain the parable that he had just told them about the farmer and the four different types of soil and the seed. So he says, resuming in verse 13, it says, "And he said to them, 'Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those that were sown on the good soil are those who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold." So we'll stop there. That was verses 13 through 20. Did you notice the prevalence of the word "hear"? Each of the four groups heard the word, it said. And so what's being described here, just really quickly with the parable, you know, there are four different groups of people being described here, four different responses. And I believe in the immediate context here, what's being talked about is four different ways that people will respond to the gospel. In fact, in Matthew's recounting of the same parable, we'll find the phrase, "the word of the kingdom." So how they respond to the word of the kingdom is going to, so I believe that we're talking about people's responses to the gospel. However, I believe as well, as we'll see, that there is a general principle for how we respond to all spiritual truth that is revealed to us. All spiritual truth. But in the immediate context, that's what we're talking about here. We're talking, I believe, about how people respond to the gospel. And so you have these four different groups of people, right? And so it says, you know, the first are those who they hear it, but then it says that Satan immediately comes and takes away the word. The second group talks about those who hear it and they immediately receive with joy, but this group of people doesn't have any root in themselves, and they kind of continue on for a little bit, but when tribulation or persecution comes because of the word, immediately they fall away. So when things start to get hard. And the third group Jesus talks about those that are sown among thorns, and they hear the word, but he says the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things, they choke it out. And then the fourth group are those who hear. And in fact, let me read really quickly regarding the fourth group, flipping over to Luke chapter 8, because I really like how it's worded here. Luke chapter 8, verse 15, Jesus says, "As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience." So you have these four different people, these four different responses to the spiritual truth of the gospel. And let me continue reading on. I read through Mark 20. Let me read through the passage that we started with. And then again, notice the word here. Notice how that word is carried through in this passage as well. Continuing in verse 21 of Mark 4, it says, "And he said to them, is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." And he said to them, "Pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away." Did you notice there? The word hear. Jesus said in verse 23, "If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear," which he also said that same thing almost identically back down in verse 9 at the end of when he first told the parable before he explained it. And then in verse 24, it says, "Pay attention to what you hear." Pay attention to what you hear. And so this connects right to this parable and is going to help us to understand it, understanding the parable is going to help us to understand it better. So let me back up now before we really start to hopefully look into verses 21 through 25 and just make a couple more remarks about Mark chapter 4 where Jesus is telling the parable. A couple of things. I said I was going to come back to verses 10 through 12. Let me reread those. It says, "And when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, 'To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see, but not perceive, and may indeed hear, but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven.'" So let's just talk about this, because at first glance, this passage could, seem troubling. But let me just start by reading a quote from a resource called the Believer's Bible Commentary and then commenting some more. And so, like I said, this quote's from the Believer's Bible Commentary. By reading this quote, that doesn't mean I endorse or agree with everything that's in the commentary. I haven't read the totality of the commentary, but I do think that this quote really hits the nail on the head. It's extremely helpful. So regarding this passage, the quote says this: "When the disciples were with him alone, they asked him why he spoke in parables. He explained to them that only those with receptive hearts were permitted to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. A mystery in the New Testament is a truth hitherto unknown that can only be known through special revelation." And that's the end of the quote. And there's a good word for you too: hitherto. So hearken and hitherto. So far, we're doing good. We're really bolstering our vocabulary. And so bonus points if you find ways to work those into conversation before the day is over. So here we have this thing where it says, I just want to really highlight just part of this quote again. It says, "He explained to them that only those with receptive hearts were permitted to know the mystery of the kingdom of God." Let me back up just a little bit where it says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Now let's ask the question, who has ears to hear? Because this ties right into this same point here. Who has ears to hear? Well, the one who has ears to hear is the one who listens. Let me put it this way. Whether or not someone has ears to hear is revealed by what they do with what they hear. In other words, someone can prove they have ears to hear by listening to, focusing on, and applying what the Lord shows them. So here we're looking at this, and so we're talking about parables here. This is a parable. And in order to understand the spiritual truth behind a parable, you have to meditate on it. You have to think about it. You have to ponder his words. And so if somebody were to hear the parable of the sower, say, let's go back into, you know, the first century when Jesus originally told this, and say there's a crowd around him and he's telling this parable, and he says it, and some people immediately hear it, and they're like, ah, that's nonsense, and they just walk away. That person just proved that they didn't have ears to hear, but if they had stopped and if they had pondered and said, well, what does this mean? What is he saying? What is the truth? And just really saying, just really giving this attention and focusing on, that person is just showed they have ears to hear. And so whether or not someone has ears to hear is going to be reflected in how they respond. And so again, like this quote says, he explained to them that only those with receptive hearts were permitted to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. Now, he used the word mystery. I'm reading from the English Standard Version, and the word in the English Standard Version is the secret of the kingdom of God. And so I want to draw a connection really quickly. So here in verse 11, he said to them, it says, and he said to them, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything is in parables. And it goes on. And then jumping ahead to our passage that we started with in verse 22, Jesus said, for nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. So just remember this. Like, I just want to just very briefly connect those two, how the word secret is present in like both places right there. So just keep that definition of secret or of mystery in mind. This is something that is hidden, that is revealed. And this would actually be a good place for a quote by a man named Henry Blackaby. He is one of the authors and creators of the Experiencing God Bible Study, which I've mentioned before on this podcast, I believe, both Lacey, my wife, and I really, really have loved it and enjoyed it a lot, and would recommend it to, you know, to any believer. And so I'll put a link to that in the description of this podcast episode. But Henry Blackaby, one of the authors, has this quote that he says, and he says something similar in the actual Bible study, but this quote might, I think, actually comes from another one of his resources. But he says, and I quote, "Divine truth is not something we discover. It is revealed by the Holy Spirit of God. As such, no other reality in the Christian life is as important as being filled with the Spirit." And so that's what he said. And so I just really want to draw on that first half right there where he says, divine truth is not something we discover. It is revealed by the Holy Spirit of God. And I did an episode, I believe it was episode 7 of this podcast, entitled Meditating on the Scriptures Part 1, where we spend pretty much the entire time talking about one of the just hugely critical, indispensable roles of the Holy Spirit, where he will take the just open the eyes of our understanding, enlighten the eyes of our heart to spiritual truth and spiritual reality. And it might even be things that we thought we already like really believed, or things that we already quote knew, but he'll just kind of take them and make them real to us. And so at this point, I would recommend as well that you listen to that episode to further understand what I'm talking about. But I'm just talking about the Lord revealing things to us. And so we're talking about the secret, the mystery, the revelation of spiritual truth. So, coming back to the passage, having done all of this, let's return to Mark 4, 21 through 25. Now, remember the importance of the word "here." We've seen the word "here" many times through this. Let's go slowly through Mark 4, 21 through 25, and I'm going to pause along the way, and hopefully we're going to walk away with this with a lot clearer of an understanding in light of all the work we just did as well. So, and he said to them, "Is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand?" So let's just stop there really quickly. That was just verse 21. And so there's this kind of image of a lamp being brought into presumably a dark room. Now, a similar image is used by Jesus near the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, like verses 14 through 16. And you remember the whole, "You're the light of the world, a city set on a hill, cannot be hidden." And then he also uses a similar image of a lamp being lit and it not being put under a basket, right? So I just want to say really quickly that it is a very similar image, but I believe although it's a similar image, Jesus is making a different point here. Back in Matthew chapter 5, that's a reference to the believer's presence in the world and their influence for the sake of the gospel. And so here, I believe something else is being mentioned, even though the illustration is similar, the actual analogy. So let's just pause here really quickly and just say, okay, so he's talking about this lamp. He says, is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? So let's ask, what is the purpose of a lamp? A lamp is, the purpose is to cast light. It is to illuminate. And so to put it under a basket or under a bed, well, that's counterproductive. That would be silly to do that. It's like, oh, it's dark in here. Let me bring in a lamp and then cover up the light of the lamp. And it's like, okay, it's dark again. And he says, and not on a stand. It's like, well, the answer is obviously, well, no, it's not meant to be put under a basket, under a bed. It's meant to be put on a stand. And so let's pause. And so what does a lamp produce? Lamp produces light. And what does light do? Light clarifies. It illuminates. It reveals. It allows us to see. It allows us to see. And so it provides understanding. In fact, I want to read Psalm 119, 130 right here. It says, the unfolding of your word gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. So a lamp is being brought in. So I believe here that what we're talking about, the light produced by the lamp is being compared to spiritual truth. It's like, okay, the eyes of our hearts are being enlightened. The Lord has revealed spiritual truth, and we now see things clearly or are aware of something that previously we were not. And so, like I said, in the context, this is, you know, connected to the parable of the sower, which is describing people's responses to the gospel message of the kingdom. But there is a general principle here. Because here, let me just bring this to our daily lives. And this is where we're going to really start getting into general applications now that we've done this work and going to continue to expand on that a little bit. So the Lord speaks to us. He absolutely speaks to us in a, you know, in a variety of ways. Jesus says in John 10:27, he said, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. And so the Lord speaks to us. We hear his voice. He communicates to us in a variety of ways. I mean, it could be speaking to us through the scriptures. It could be directly to our hearts during prayer or even just kind of at other times. It could be through listening to sermons and teachings through other godly people, like it, asking for godly advice through our circumstances. Like if we're listening, then we'll see and hear from God. And I think that I can just most of you could probably think, it's like, okay, when is there a time when God showed you something? And you can probably think of something. You can be like, oh yeah, I really feel like the Lord showed me blank. It could have been while you were reading your Bible. It could have been through, again, the advice of the godly advice of another believer. I mean, could have been through your circumstances where some dots started to connect. It could have been while you were listening to a sermon and you feel like the sermon or the teaching was just for you or something like that. My point is that the Lord has spoken to you. And can you think of a time when you heard from him? That was a time where light was being shed, so to speak, right? You were enlightened. The eyes of your hearts were enlightened to something. They were, you were seeing things more clearly. And so the question is, well, what did you do with that information after that was revealed? So in Mark 4, we're talking about, okay, is a lamp brought in to be put under a bed? It's like, well, when that light is brought in, the goal is not for that light to be ignored, snuffed out, or diminished. Jesus goes on to say, for nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. We talked about that a little bit already. Then moving on, let's see here. It says, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. That's a phrase, again, we've talked about that already. And so let's look at verse 24, which is really the crux of this that I really wanted to get to. And it says, and he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. And so this is it. It's like, remember the word hear. It appeared so many times, and the four different people heard it, right? But three of the groups ceased to pay attention to what they hear, to what they heard, right? Is the last group, the parable with the group of the good soil, they are the ones who heard and persevered and continue to focus on what they heard. And so Jesus goes on to say, with the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. So when the Lord shows you something, here's the admonition. It is pay attention to what you hear. Don't forget it. Don't just let it slip away. Pay attention to what you hear. When God shows you something, when he brings some sort of awareness in your life, when he speaks to you, when he shows you something, it is then our responsibility to pay attention. He spoke. He took that initiative and he spoke and we can't make him speak. All we can do is position ourselves to hear from him, believing in our hearts that he does want to speak because he does. Because he wants a relationship with his people, of course. But pay attention to what you hear. What you hear when he speaks, it is now our responsibility to pay attention. And then there's this kind of interesting phrase where he says, with the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. Well, more what? I would say more light, more understanding, more clarity. And you can probably relate to this. When the Lord showed you something, the more you thought about it, the more clarity there was. And like I already read in Psalm 119:130, it says, the unfolding of your word gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. So as you're thinking about it, as you are meditating on and focusing on and deliberately thinking about the things that God has shown you and trying to keep those things in mind and to live those sorts of things out, there's going to be more and more clarity. Jesus said, with the measure you use. With the measure of what? With the measure of focus. With the measure, he says, with the measure of attention, because he had just said to us, pay attention to what you hear. Well, with the measure of what? Well, with the measure of attention you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. And so there's going to be a return where it's like, if God shows you something, he's given it to you. There it is. The more you think about that thing, the more you focus on that, the more understanding you're going to be given, the more you're going to see the way the dots connect, the more you're going to see how what Jesus has shown you integrates into your whole life and all the different applications, the more you're going to see ways it applies to other people's lives that you can share with them. And then it says, not just that, it's not just a one-to-one ratio, it says, and still more will be added to you. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. And then he says, for to the one who has, for to the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And so we have these two groups here, the one who has, who pays attention, where, you know, with the measure they use, it is measured to them. And of course, more is added to that as well. But then you have this other group that they just don't pay attention to what they heard. They don't. The lamp is brought in and they put it under a basket or under a bed, so to speak. It's like the light is shed and there's the opportunity to see clearly and they just kind of ignore it. And they might even be like, wow, that was, you know, great. But then they just kind of move on. And we've all done this. It's our responsibility to pay attention to what we hear, to keep it in front of us. And so this is what I would want to say. You've experienced this where the Lord has spoken to you. He's showing you something. I mean, and listen, and I'm not just talking about things to do. It could be something about himself. It could be, you know, the Lord showed you in some way how much he loves you. And it was very meaningful in the moment. But then you just didn't really think about it or focus on it. It didn't actually transform you. It was snatched away. And so if we don't keep things before us, then we're gonna forget them. And, you know, I can think of just a couple of examples in my own life where the Lord has spoken recently and I found myself getting just distracted, just getting distracted and not keeping these things before me. So for example, just one example would be this. You can tell from the last episode that there's a big emphasis on being aware of God's presence with us and his heart towards us. And I believe the Lord really was showing me a lot and speaking to me about that. And just bringing me into this place where I could be really conscious of his presence in a new way. And bringing him into everything I do, where as I'm going about my day, I'm not just doing it. I mean, Jesus and I are doing these things together. If I'm, you know, in the yard, Jesus and I are mowing the grass together, or, you know, just being aware that Jesus is with me everywhere I go and having kind of a conversational relationship with him. And yet there are some days, even recently, where it's like, okay, I'll read my Bible in the morning and I'll go through the whole day and I won't really think about the Lord very much. And it's like, well, that's the opposite, right? And so just being distracted and not paying attention to what I've heard and paying attention to what he's shown me. Another one is this. Recently, I remembered something I had forgotten, and I actually recorded a podcast on this, episode 41, which when this episode posts, will have been released exactly 1 year prior. But it was the episode Good Things Come to Those Who Wait, where in that episode, I share about how God has promised to give us wisdom, and so we should just ask in faith and then wait, not putting a timestamp on God, knowing that, okay, he said he would give me the wisdom. And how if things are murky or things are unclear, then I should just wait for the Lord and not just try to do what seems right in my own eyes or what seems wisest to me, but just to really wait for God to clarify. And so that's something that I had learned a year ago, but I had forgotten. I hadn't paid attention to it the way that I should have, and the Lord reminded me of it, and it was very helpful and very, very encouraging. And so my point is just that, just don't forget it. Keep it in front of you. And I just want to take it one step further really quickly. In Luke, the parallel passage to the one that we just read from Mark 4, and Luke says, "No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand, so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care, then, how you hear. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away." And so it says, pay attention how you hear. Because in the Bible, we also have those who hear and do not apply, those who hear and do not do. And that just brought my mind to James 1, 22 through 25, which we've talked about in this podcast before, but was relevant enough that I wanted to share it here. James says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing." And that's the end of the passage. And so, yes, we need to hear, but we also need to apply. We need to keep it in front of us and look for ways to live out whatever the spiritual truth is that God is showing us or teaching us, and to hyper-focus on this sort of thing and to be on guard against distractions, whatever the thing is. And so I want to wrap up just with a couple more quotes and then also just a couple of applications here. So I'm going to read some excerpts from an entry in a devotional by a man named Rick Renner, and the devotional is called Sparkling Gems from the Greek. It is a daily devotional where one particular Greek word is drawn out and highlighted. And there's just a couple of relevant quotes here that I want to mention. And so now I'm quoting. "Have you ever received a word from the Lord that gave you the exact direction you needed? If so, let me guess what happened next. Suddenly, boom. It seemed like all hell broke loose. The craziest circumstances erupted, seeming to directly challenge and assault that word you had just received from God. If I've just described what you've gone through or what you are going through right now, be encouraged. You must be on track. A spiritual fight usually does occur when you've been spiritually or especially illuminated to the plan God has for your life." So let me reread that last sentence because I just struggled through that one. He said, "A spiritual fight usually does occur when you've been specially illuminated to the plan God has for your life." So let me pause before reading another quote. So he's just talking about, you know, whenever the Lord speaks to us, whenever he gives you direction, whenever you hear from the Lord, that it is, you know, very common to encounter spiritual opposition. We see that the enemy tries to steal the word that was sown, right? We see that like the birds on the path. And so we have to be diligent to stay focused and to realize that the opposition does not necessarily mean that we're doing something wrong. Now, opposition doesn't necessarily mean that we're doing something right either. I mean, we could be suffering for the wrong reasons. But it is true that if we are on the right track, then we will likely experience spiritual opposition. Like he says, a spiritual fight usually does occur when you've been specially illuminated to the plan God has for your life. So let me read another quote from further down in this devotional and then just draw out a couple things. "If you have been in this place I'm talking about, or if this is exactly where you are right now, then be encouraged. This is probably your clearest signal that you've received a real word from the Lord. You must be right on track, because the devil is terribly concerned about what will happen if you act on what God has revealed to you. Don't back down. Don't surrender to the enemy's vicious lies in your mind, his attacks against your body, his challenges to your finances, or his assaults on your relationships. Regardless of how much resistance he tries to bring against you, don't you dare back up on the word God gave you. If you hadn't received a true word from the Lord, there would be nothing for the devil to challenge. The fight you face is the greatest evidence that you're right on track. Just hang on and don't give up. You're clearly headed in the right direction. And so that's the end of the passage. We know that Peter talks about how the enemy goes to and fro looking for someone to devour. And we see from this passage as well that Jesus talks about how he tries to steal the word that is sown. And I can also just personally relate to this passage where it's like, I feel like even 2023 has been a year where God has been showing both Lacey and me a lot of really wonderful spiritual truths. There's been a lot of great spiritual forward movement, I feel like, and where God has just been really speaking. It's been really great stuff. And there's also been a lot of opposition that's just come from in a variety of ways. And so this isn't just theoretical. I'm sharing that I can attest even personally to what's being said here, but I just want to highlight what he said, where he said, don't back down. And a little bit further down, he says, regardless of how much resistance he tries to bring against you, don't you dare back up on that word God gave you. And so whenever the Lord reveals something, the enemy may very most likely will try to oppose it. And, you know, Paul says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, right? We don't want to be ignorant of the enemy's schemes, knowing that he's going to try probably to distract you and do pretty much anything to try to prevent you from applying what you've seen and to focus on what you've learned. And so just be aware of that and just do everything you can to continue to focus on it. And don't be like even how I've described at times where I've been distracted only to realize it in retrospect. So keep it in front of you. So here's just a few practical tips on how you can do this. Just pray and ask God to help you to focus on it. Pray and ask him regularly to help you not to forget, and talk to him about it regularly, whatever it is that he's showing you, and ask him to help you to understand and to really absorb it into who you are and not let it just be something that kind of comes in one ear and goes out the other. Another good idea is you need to probably journal it down, write it down, write these things down, and then review these things from time to time. And you may very well be surprised when you reread it and you're like, I forgot about that, but that's awesome. So write it down. And three, this one's important. You'll have to create margin in your life to be able to focus. If we have zero margin, then we don't have time to think. And I can relate to this. Like I said, I've gone through entire days where I haven't thought much about Jesus since I got up from reading my Bible that morning or something like that. So we have to create margin, which is going to require us to use the word no. We're going to have to say no to stuff. But what we're talking about is extremely important, not only for us, but for those around us. We don't want to forget. We don't want to be forgetful hearers, but doers who act. We want to obey Jesus when he says, pay attention to what you hear. And this could be revolutionary, and it could really set you free and really give you a lot of joy and peace in your life that as you just simply follow the Lord and cooperate with what it is that he's showing you, whatever it may be. So let me pray for you guys, and then we'll wrap up here. Lord, I pray that you just help us to remember. I pray for everyone who's listening right now, Lord, that you speak to them clearly, and then, Lord, help them to remember so that we don't forget. Lord, I pray that you give us spiritual sensitivity to recognize attacks from the enemy so that we're not just kind of confused and being battered and tossed to and fro, but so that we can really just kind of stand our ground. And but Lord, we just ask for your help. Apart from you, we can do nothing. And I just pray for all these people listening, Lord. Anyone who's listening right now, Lord, I pray that you show them your love in a very meaningful, special way. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, I just want to talk about the Bible is a 501c3 nonprofit organization, which means that any and all gifts given are tax deductible. So thank you so much to those of you who have already given. And if anyone feels led to give, instructions on how to do so can be found in the footer of every podcast episode, the description down there. So I hope this has been helpful and encouraging for you guys. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. All right, God bless you guys. Until next time.